Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
You know, one of my teammates, he's with Tennessee now, Jonathan Joseph.
Of course.
15-year vet, corner. I mean, I talked to him. I used to talk to him when he was with us every day. You know, we chop it up every day. Even now, I know he's still living in Houston, so I go over to his crib. We chop it up.
Sean Watson talking about Jonathan Joseph, no longer with us. Pour one out for J-Joe. Not dead, just in Tennessee. Landry Locker, Wade Smith, Figgy Fig with you. Part two of the Texans position series. We did the wide receivers at 11. You can see that at sportsradio610.com. Tomorrow at noon, the safeties. What the hell is an Eric Murray? We will cuss and discuss.
Stall him out, Landry.
Well, let's start with the corners. Bradley Roby, as we go through this cornerback group. Bradley Roby has gone from a one-year prove-it deal guy, Wade, to a guy that you're relying on to make plays. You're relying on Bradley Roby to be your number one cornerback. Unfamiliar territory for him, but you got to hope. I mean, the reality is with the way this cornerback position is lined up, you got to expect him to be that guy. I will say this, if we want to look at this from an optimistic perspective, he did miss six games last year, but before that, he'd only missed one in his previous 5 years. So it's not like this is a guy. I know from what we know about him, he was injured last year, but that's not his reputation. That was more of that wasn't the norm, Wade. But Bradley Roby as the number one cornerback, how should I feel as someone who's worried about this cornerback unit?
I would say that I'll be very confident in Bradley Roby. He's the one guy at the cornerback position with the Texans that I have full confidence in what he's going to bring to the table. You've seen him make play after play when he was out there on the field last year. You mentioned that he missed six games. I think he probably missed six games because he was going to be very, very careful with that injury, because the fact of the matter, it was a contract year. He had great film up until that point, and so he's going to make sure he took his time before he put himself back in harm's way, because he didn't want to cost himself as far as him getting a long deal. And I tell you what, there's 3 years, $31.5 million. That's a good deal for the Texans, man. I mean, if you're number one corner, if you're paying your number one corner $11 million a year or $12 million a year, that ain't bad. And so I think that's the one spot that I have like supreme confidence in, is that
supreme
confidence in that Bradley Roby is going to be the number one corner, and he's going to be able to hang with any of the big dogs. Like, if whoever you put out there against him, he's going to be able to hang with him. He's not going to be a dominant corner, but I do have confidence in him that he's going to be able to hold his own against the best, and he's going to be able to shut down a lot of the good to average players in the NFL.
So Wade Smith, supreme confidence in Bradley Roby as a number one corner. I'm a little bit skeptical. I like Roby, but that number one corner, you're going to have to guard some straight-up dogs in this league. I mean, A.J. Brown twice. We already know they're facing the Chiefs and the Ravens. Colts have added some guys.
I never saw Bradley Roby look overmatched out there. When he was out there on the field, he played at a very, very high level. So I expect that to continue going forward. You got to understand, it wasn't like he had somebody on the other side that was a dominant corner, and so he was getting the slouches. He was the number one corner last year as well, and he played at a high level, so I expect him to continue to do that going forward.
There we go. And the good news, if you are on the side of Wade Smith as far as being confident about Bradley Roby as a cornerback, he makes plays. He sat down with Snoop Dogg. Here's a little taste of the number one cornerback for your Houston Texans talking to Snoop Dogg.
I'm making plays, bro.
Is it study or was it just right place, right time?
I don't know. I think it's just, I just make plays, bro.
hey, ain't no other way to put it.
Simple and plain. I make plays. One thing about me, I make plays too. You know what I'm talking about?
I mean, like, I do the studying and all that stuff, but I don't know. It's like my whole life, I just always make plays. So
you spontaneous and instinct.
Yeah.
There you go.
You just be making plays, bro. Okay. You know what I mean? A lot of, you don't have to be too complicated.
Plays, bro.
You don't got to be complicated. Straight to the point.
Hey, I got him.
I got to cover that guy. I'm going to lock him up. I'm not going to let him score on me. I'm not going to let him catch passes on me. And there you go. That's Bradley Roby.
That's a former Ohio State Buckeye. We're going down the depth chart, and it brings us to another Ohio State Buckeye, another former first-round pick, Garion Conley, with the Houston Texans. The Raiders last year, in just his third year, despite being a first-round selection, they traded him to the Texans the week the two teams were playing for a third-round pick. Texans did not pick up Conley's fifth-year option, which means this is a contract year for Garion Conley. You've seen the stats, the pass breakups and everything, but I'm not so sure that I feel great about Garion Conley as the number two cornerback, especially in that Buffalo game. If you actually watched the tape and you were watching the game, they had opportunities to take advantage of Garion Conley lined up on the outside on Josh Brown. I'm very concerned about Garion Conley establishing himself as maybe not a guy that belongs in the league, but as a guy that you want second on your cornerback depth chart. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty doubtful about this, but I would love for him to serve me some crow.
Yeah, man, listen, so Garion Conley, just looking at it from the positive side, he's going to get every opportunity to cash in, because there's going to be a lot of times he's targeted this year by opposing teams. They're going to go after Garion Conley. So because of that, he's going to have a lot of opportunities to make plays and to earn himself a bunch of money. But he hasn't shown me any consistency his entire career that you can count on him to be the number two guy. He was the number three guy in with the Raiders before he got – did he get traded or cut? I can't remember.
Third-round pick.
He was traded, but was he traded or cut? Because they pick him up – did they pick him up off the waivers or did they trade for him?
Hargraves is who they picked up. Texans traded third.
So they traded him. Okay.
The they
traded for him.
In the Clowney deal.
Hargrave was the one that picked up off waivers. But yeah, so Conley,
no one wanted, by the way.
Right.
We'll
get to that in a minute. But Conley, he's up and down. You know, there are some times that you see him on the field and he makes plays and you like that. But then you also see him look overmatched at times. And so someone might say, well, you got that out of Jonathan Joseph too as the number two guy last year. Sometimes he looked overmatched. Jonathan Joseph was a guy that was going to be bend but don't break and just play with guys in front of them and come up and make tackles. And he was solid in that realm. You never saw him get beat deep, but people would, you know, make plays down the field, you know, tic-tac, you know, bit by bit. And people didn't like to watch that. Mm. Garion Conley shows me that he's one of those guys that can come up and make a play, but he also can get beat for 60. And so that's what you want to eliminate anytime with the defense. You don't want to give up the explosive play. And Garion Conley just strikes me as a guy that is going to be sometimey. And if you're sometimey, now that's where my concern comes in, especially when you're the number two corner and there's nobody behind him that you say this guy for sure can step up in his role if he's not ready to step up and be the number two for the Houston Texans.
It's a crossroads moment in Conley's career. This is a difference right here where – you either sign a nice little second deal, post-rookie deal, and you establish yourself as a key member of a team, or you might be lingering around the league and having to go from stop to stop. It's a big year for Garion Conley.
That's what you want. From Garion Conley, you now put yourself in a position that you can cash in. So he's going to have every incentive to play at a very, very high level this year. Can he go out there and do it? Can he go out there and perform at a level that gets him a new deal here with Houston or gets him a big deal somewhere else? He has that all in front of him. He's going to get every opportunity because teams are going to come after Garion Conley.
Yeah, right behind Conley on the depth chart, you have a second-year guy who last time we saw him on the field, it was an uncomfortable position he was in. However, even amidst that, we did see him find the end zone when the Texans were facing the Chiefs.
Snap on target, and the Texans block it. It's loose at the 10-yard line. Lonnie to the right side, the 5. He's in! Touchdown, Houston!
Lonnie Johnson, second-year cornerback, physical freak out of the University of Kentucky. Saw some good things from him in his rookie year. Saw him struggle like rookie corners typically do. You like that he has a chip on his shoulder, had a few scuffles in training camp, but is Lonnie Johnson going to be a corner that you can put at the top of your depth chart? And is his future even at the cornerback position? A lot of questions here as the position series continues. Cornerback edition with Landry Locker and Wade Smith.
Yeah, Lonnie Johnson has a high upside, and so you want to see him get to that. But one thing that I think it can detract from him reaching his full potential is them putting him at multiple spots, playing him at corner on the outside, playing him at the slot.
You don't see him lining up against Travis Kelce week one?
No, sir. That better not happen anymore. He's just not ready for that. You're going to have to depend on guys like Eric Murray and maybe whoever else they bring in. We'll talk about safeties tomorrow, but you're not going to tell me that putting Lonnie Johnson against Travis Kelce is the best course of action against the Kansas City Chiefs. We already seen that. We know how that story ends. Tayshaun was not there, and Jahlil Dye was not there. So you try to go with the big corner, Lonnie Johnson. I want to find him a spot, get him there, let him work and improve and get better. I'm really disappointed that J. Joe is no longer here, because that was the guy that was going to help bring him along and help him become a veteran presence, or help him become a better pro and become a veteran in the locker room. So he's going to have to lean on other veteran guys that really don't necessarily exist in the defensive backfield. And so those are things that I think that can hold Lonnie Johnson back, but he has a lot of talent. He doesn't look like a cornerback when he walks into a room. He looks like he's a safety when you walk into a room. So them moving him to safety, if that's what they deem is the best thing for him, put him there, leave him there, let him work there and get better at it and try to master it. Because that's what's going to take for you to get the full value out of Lonnie Johnson. Find a one spot for him, letting him be there and do that so that he can learn the tricks of the trade and completely hone his craft.
Those are the first three guys, Roby, Conley, Lonnie Johnson. The bottom of the depth chart, my goodness, you have Vernon Hargraves, who's known on this show as a guy who sounds like a hyena whenever he's mic'd up.
Fade that boy up! Hey, let's have some fun, man. Let's go.
Released by the Tampa Bay Bucks last year. This is really telling, though, because nobody else claimed him except the Texans last year, and nobody wanted to pay him this year, so he's basically back on somewhat of a minimum deal. I don't know how much hope I have for Vernon Hargraves. And then you have John Reed, the rookie out of Penn State, who I think could actually impact part one of our position series, the wide receiver position. Because I think this is something nobody's talking about. This is a guy who returned punts at Penn State. He was very good at it.
Nobody's talking about guys.
If John Reed can establish himself as the top punt returner, I think the chances of Kiki QT making this team over DeAndre Carter could actually increase. I don't know how he's going to be as a corner.
Yeah.
Line him up in the slot. I mean, fourth-round cornerbacks typically struggle. First-round cornerbacks typically struggle. But there's nothing really to get excited about on this roster as far as the bottom of it. You also have Keon Crossan and Phillip Gaines.
I tell you what, if you base their performance off of their interview, like, John Reed is going to be on the first team. Like, John Reed's interview was excellent.
He might own the team.
No question about it. So, you know, he has the right temperament. I like the way he talks. I want to see the way he plays. Vernon Hargraves, you really just don't know what you're going to get out of these guys. There's a bunch of guys that are either unproven or they are inconsistent. And so that's where a lot of the concern comes in. There's one cornerback on this team that I feel like every week's going to go out there and play at a high level. And everybody else, sometimes they're going to be all right. Sometimes they're going to struggle at the office. And there's too many people at that position group for you to say that, especially when you have other position groups on the offensive side of the ball where you're like, hey, you got people everywhere. The offensive line is all coming back. The receivers, you're four deep. You know, you got two running backs. You got four tight ends that you can work with. The defensive, at the cornerback position, there's one guy that you really can trust in. And so these guys are going to have a lot to prove this offseason.
That is the part two edition of the In the Loop position series, the cornerbacks. Tomorrow at noon, we're going to do the safeties. At 11 o'clock, we're going to talk about the tight ends. Are they carrying four? Could Kahale Waring be released? A lot of stuff to get into with Landry Locker, Wade Smith, and for John Lopez here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Deshaun Watson, damn, he got candid. My goodness. He got so candid, he laid out expectations for the man who writes the checks. Hear what Deshaun Watson expects from Cal McNair by the end of the month, as well as his thoughts on the departure of DeAndre Hopkins next.
Watson!
That boy is good.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Deshaun Watson joined Carmelo Anthony yesterday. Candid version of Deshaun Watson. He's laying out expectations for his team. He's laying out expectations for himself, talking about how things are going to be different. He's laying out expectations for Cal McNair, the man who writes the checks. Landry Locker, Wade Smith, in for John Lopez. Figgy Fig with you. Best songs about money coming up in 20 minutes. Send them in 713-572-4610. Here is number four with Carmelo Anthony in the What's in Your Glass, or on the What's in Your Glass podcast, talking about his excitement for the season and addressing the obvious elephant in the room.
I'm really looking forward to, man, just going out there and really just changing the game, taking my game to another level, especially with the new additions. I definitely was hurt when, you know, we let Hop go. That's my brother. That's my dog. That's part of the business, something that I couldn't control. But we got some new additions with Cooks, Cobb. You know, we got Kenny. We got David Johnson. So I'm real excited with some veteran, you know, teammates that played a lot of football and ready to just get out there and just turn it up.
And I think what's going to help him in this whole deal is the veterans that they brought in have experience in his offense. Brandon Cooks has experience in his offense. And so that's going to help Deshaun Watson as well. Because we talk about the Tom Brady offense and the way things work with the receivers. The receivers have to be on the same page as the quarterback. And so if you have receivers that understand the offense and understand the concepts and know where they're supposed to be and when they're supposed to be there, it makes things easier for Deshaun Watson. So by them bringing in veteran guys, the chances of you having that at all four spots every time they're on the field goes up tremendously. And so that's the part that Deshaun, I'm sure, is excited about. It's like, we got some veteran guys coming in. Even though I lost the best guy, I got some veteran guys that are coming in that have experience in this type of offense. And so that's going to help translate into us being more successful going forward.
Maybe. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what it's like without him, man. I mean, we haven't seen it, man. We haven't seen it in over half a decade. Like, we haven't seen the Texans without Nuke Hopkins. We haven't seen Deshaun without Nuke Hopkins. We haven't seen this offense without Nuke Hopkins. So you that's the hope. But there's also, I mean, it's
there's no Whoopi. There is no Whoopi on this roster right now. Somebody's going to have to earn that moniker and that belief that, you know what, I can count on this guy when it's third and eight and I need to convert, or it's fourth and five and I need to convert. Who is the guy I'm going to go to on a consistent basis, and I can trust that he's going to make the play? They don't have that guy on the roster right now, and they're going to figure it out. And they're going to figure it out on the fly. And that makes you nervous. That gives you concern, because the name of the game when it comes to NFL ball is being able to move the chains. And what you do on third down and fourth down and being able to convert, staying on the field, keeping your defense off the field, that pays huge dividends, and that is what wins and loses ball games. And so that part causes you some concern.
And I think the training wheels are off. You know, I've heard, you know, justification for why you bring in a guy like Randall Cobb, why you're trading for Brandon Cooks. And I have to hear about their intangibles, and I have to hear about, you know, their experience. I don't give a rat's butt about it. The quarterback's the guy. That's the guy that they're going to lean on Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson doesn't need to lean on Randall Cobb or Brandon Cooks. If this offense is going to take the next step, everybody's sitting there looking at four, and four is the one that tells you. Deshaun Watson, if this offense is going to reach the next level, Wade, you can tell me if I'm wrong. It's going to be because Randall Cobb and Brandon Cooks are learning from Deshaun Watson, not the other way around.
Oh, that's a good way to put it. It's got to be that way because this iteration of the offense is run through and by Deshaun Watson. He is the catalyst of what everything goes on. Whatever goes on with this offense, it's on Deshaun Watson's shoulder. So, of course, it's going to have to be him leading the way. But you need to have the guys around you to be on the same page with you and understand the concepts in order for it to work. Because if the quarterback is exactly right 10 out of 10 times, but his receiver is wrong, yeah, you know, three or four out of those 10 times, that's going to cost you. That's the reason why Kiki QT found himself in the doghouse. That interception, I forgot what game that was.
End of the Colts game. Last play of the Colts game.
Like, you saw Deshaun Watson visibly upset because Kiki wasn't where he was supposed to be, and that was the difference between winning and losing a ball game. You gotta have trust in your receivers, so it's important for them to understand what's going on. But for sure, this season and the way this offense goes and functions is on the shoulders completely of Deshaun Watson.
We've seen kind of a new organizational outlook with everything going on in the world, and we're kind of seeing a new Deshaun Watson, because not only is he laying out the expectations for his teammates, he's also laying out the expectations for his boss. When you're the franchise quarterback, you can, even though many don't, lay out what you expect from your owner. Here's Deshaun Watson talking about what he expects from Cal McNair when the guys do report, hopefully, by the end of this month.
Do you find it uncomfortable for those owners to be able to talk about that and to discuss it with the players or not?
I think it's going to be uncomfortable. I personally haven't talked to our owner. I talked to the head coach. I talked to Jack Easterby. I talked to the main guys that, you know, deal with the players and deal with the front office. But I personally haven't talked to the owner. But I know whenever, you know, we report the camp, everybody in that locker room is expecting the owner on day one to come talk to us and communicate with us, ask us questions, let them know that, hey, you know, he's there supporting us. He's supporting his players. Because if not, then it's going to be some issues for sure.
Yeah, what you're seeing out of players in all sports right now is they're really pushing the issue. And so they're pushing the issue when it comes to social justice reform and police reform and the various avenues that are the subjects behind the protests and just making the world a better place and making this country a better country. But these conversations come with some pushback, and they come with some people that might not look at things the same way you look at them. So there might be some uncomfortable conversations. The good thing about what you're seeing from the ownership of the Houston Texans and the leadership of the Houston Texans is that they're showing that they're open to listening and they're open to hearing guys out and trying to figure out ways to better things for everybody involved. And so when you have that mindset that you're willing to listen and you're open-minded and people are willing to hold one another accountable, that's when you make progress. That's when things get better for everybody involved. And so that's what you're looking to see. I'm glad to hear that Deshaun Watson is using his leverage and using his platform in order to inspire change and make things better for this community, starting here in Houston, but then all over this country. And by him doing that, I think that he's going to lead the way for people to come after him. We were talking about Pat Mahomes before. It's like, remember they put that video together that kind of forced the NFL's hands to say, you know what, Black Lives do matter, right? That was something that you would have never heard Roger Goodell say, 3 years ago or 4 years ago when Colin Kaepernick first started discussing social justice issues. Well, the fact that Pat Mahomes was on that video, that pressed the issue and forced the NFL to kind of get behind it. Now Pat Mahomes, you're seeing, is the $500 million man.
Face of the league.
He's the face of the league. And so teams are going to be more willing to listen and be open-minded and try to affect a legitimate change in our communities. And I think they should be applauded for that.
We are not going to see the same Deshaun Watson. Now, is that a good thing? And could that be a bad thing? We'll get into that, as well as the best songs about money. Keep it locked in the loop with Landry Locker, Wade Smith, in for John Lopez. Continues next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, best songs about money, 713-572-4610. We all got four. Already regretting some of the songs that I didn't put on there, but that happens. Landry Locker, Wade Smith, Figgy Fig with you, of course. This whole exercise is motivated by the money in which Patrick Mahomes got from the Kansas City Chiefs. Deshaun Watson probably up next. It'll be interesting to see what he gets. It's going to be interesting to see how he handles his fourth year in the NFL, because it's going to be a very strange one. Could something that is not going to happen going to negatively impact the quarterback of the Houston Texans? Here was Deshaun, a candid Deshaun, on What's in Your Glass with Carmelo Anthony talking about the upcoming season.
Man, it's going to be weird, honestly, especially if it's no fans. You playing a fan, you turned up with them, and now, you know what I'm saying, there's nobody in the – it's just the players. And then, of course, you know, with the COVID deal, you know how fast sicknesses and viruses kind of spread in the locker room. It's contagious. I don't know. I'm still kind of on the fly. I'm still trying to find information. They still haven't told us anything. They say we're going to report July 20th. We don't know, you know what I'm saying? So we just kind of winging it right now.
A lot of times, guys, even in football too, they feed off the momentum of the fans.
Right.
When there's no fans there, you got to have a deep
motivation.
That's going to be that's going to separate a lot of people in all sports.
I feel like for me personally, it's going to be more mental, just kind of staying locked in and competing that way.
Man, listen. NFL players, professional athletes in general, base a lot of their ability to play off of emotion, off of the crowd, off of the ability to use that energy in order for you to play at a very, very high level. So it's going to be extremely awkward for guys to go out there and play and not have fans. Say all that, but this is also true about professional athletes. They're the most adaptable group of people that I've ever come across in my life. They will get used to playing ball without fans, and you will see them eventually shine. It's going to be awkward
but
for guys to start
shine
off
more
with
than others, though, right?
No question about it.
I mean, some people probably feed, some athletes probably feed off the fans a little bit more, and Deshaun just seems like one of those guys that does.
He might initially, but if he starts struggling and he's not playing well, he also has that dog in him. He has that mentality of being an ultimate competitor, and so he's going to figure out a way to win. And so that's kind of what I'm talking about. Like if he doesn't have the energy there, he's going to figure out a way to bring the energy itself. It's almost like in practice. In practice, sometimes
we talk about
false enthusiasm. You come out there.
We're
talking about practice. And in practice in the NFL, you know, it can get monotonous. It can get tiring. In the middle of training camp, so you bring that false enthusiasm. You got to understand this. These NFL teams and these professional sports teams, if they're smart, they're going to pump music and crowd noise into these stadiums to kind of help mitigate that loss of actual fans being there. But at practice, when you play at practice and there's music being played at practice, and I'm glad this is a perfect segue into this, what we're doing with this money segment. But when you're playing ball and there's music playing in practice, that brings energy. It's just like people when you work out. When you go to the gym and you forget your headphones, it's the absolutely worst feeling. You're like, damn, how am I going to do this workout? I ain't got my music. You can't do an hour of cardio with no music. It's the worst thing that you could possibly go through. It's the same thing, that same vibe that you want as a player when you're trying to play at a high level. But I think teams will be able to figure out ways to kind of mitigate their loss, pump some crowd noise in there, play the music, because if they do those things, the players will end up being what they always are, and that's great.
You also still, if you do feed off it, you are on national TV, so that probably helps a little bit. But it will be different. That's one thing that's going to be different for Deshaun Watson in year four. What about Deshaun Watson's outlook and how he feels right now 3 years into his NFL career? How is that going to change? Here's Deshaun with Carmelo Anthony on What's on Your Glass podcast.
Learn the history about the game. Learn the history about the game. Get educated with that. Build your knowledge. And be able to be comfortable with the person you are today and the person you are. It took me 3 years into the NFL to actually realize, okay, this is the person I am. This is how I like to dress. This is how I like to talk. You know what I'm saying? To be comfortable with that. If you can have that energy and that confidence and know the history, because you don't want to come in not knowing the history and you're stepping over boundaries and now you're looking crazy. That's why I've been quiet. And I feel like this is the perfect opportunity for guys to be able to learn and educate themselves. So whenever you get to that moment, you won't feel the pressure that most guys felt, you know, coming into the lead and feeling like you got to, you know, be a certain way to make sure you stay in the lead.
You do talk about, you know, he's talking about how he's been quiet and he's basically foreshadowing that he's going to be a little bit more vocal. This is kind of, and I don't, Bill O'Brien didn't say this, but you can read between the line. You can kind of get the context clues. I'm not saying it was 100% necessary, but the people who justify the Hopkins trade, it's obvious what they talk about from a scheme standpoint, spreading the rock out more, which we can agree and disagree on all day. But from a locker room perspective and from the previous segment where I said he needs to be the most powerful voice in that huddle, not having DeAndre Hopkins, and I'm not even saying this is a good thing, it does set Deshaun Watson up, who's admittedly more comfortable in his own skin, being more vocal, to be the most powerful voice in that locker room, right?
It's hard for me to co-sign that line of thinking, man.
Is I'm not saying it's a good thing or not. I'm just saying it with Nuke was one of, if you walked in that locker room, Nuke was one of the top alphas. I'm not saying if it was a bad thing or a good thing.
Yeah.
That's Deshaun's locker room now.
But it was his locker room before. Like it was going to be his locker room regardless because he's the quarterback. He had to grow into who he was as a man. He would have still been growing into who he was as a man if DeAndre Hopkins was still in the locker room. It wasn't. I never got that impression. No one has ever told me that. Just knowing Hop and who he is as a player and as a person, he's not going to be the dominant guy in the room to where he's going to force a guy like Deshaun Watson to take a step back.
Right.
That's just, to me, that's a false narrative. That one thing has nothing to do with the other. Deshaun Watson is coming into his own as a leader and as a man just based off the fact that he's no longer 21. Now he's about to be 24. He's played in the league
25
years old. He's played in the league for 3 years now. He's got pelts on the wall. He has the respect of all of his teammates. He has the respect of all of his opponents. I mean, that's a huge deal. And so he's just that's just a natural maturation process. I don't think that the hot deal, him not being there, is going to allow him to do it better. To me, I can't rock with that sentiment because it, to me, one does has nothing to do with the other.
Okay.
To me, if that was the case, then you're telling me that Deshaun Watson is a weak leader. That and I don't, there's nothing about him that agrees with that. And I'm not talking specifically about you, there's been other shows where they've been like, because you know he's out of the locker room now, Deshaun can be Deshaun. Like, no, Deshaun was 21 years old. He's maturing to who he is as a leader, but Hop is not the type of guy that's going to force another guy to take a step back. It's just not the case.
The problem is, and I think this is the problem for people who might think that, is that I think it's going to happen. I think Deshaun has made it clear for you that he's going to be more of a leader, but you're saying it was going to happen regardless.
Yes.
But people who were having that mindset are now going to say, see, Hopkins is gone, and look at what Deshaun's
done. What he's doing
but
now.
But you're saying it was going to happen regardless. I feel you on that. That just seems to be kind of the justification as and let's be honest. There's a if you're defending the Hopkins trade after it happened, you're going to have to justify it. You're kind of going to have to chase your tail because I don't think anyone really was a huge fan of the move. Don't want to speak for you, but I think I can in that case. You're not a huge fan.
No, not at all. They could have had Cobb here. They could have had Cooks here and still had Hop. And then you'd say this for sure was the best receiving core in the league. They could have done that. You just wouldn't have David Johnson. You'd still have the same draft picks gone. You wouldn't have David Johnson. Oh, no. You could just bring back Carlos Hyde, run that back at the running back position. You'd be perfectly fine. But
yeah.
I don't make the decisions over there. They do, and they made the decisions. And you know what? The receiving core is going to be good. They're going to be damn good this year. So at the end of the day, that's all you want to see for sure is like, all right, are they going to be a good football team? Are they going to be a good offense? I believe they will.
Now, with the maturity, is there going to be an increase in production? We've seen Lamar Jackson win MVP last year. We saw Pat Mahomes win MVP and become a rich SOB yesterday. Here's Deshaun Watson talking about the competition between himself, Lamar Jackson, and Pat Mahomes.
I really just stay locked in on me. When I talk to him, when we, you know, train together, I learn what I can to try to apply it to my game. But I just stay focused on my craft and the people around me and being that servant leader and just building what I got to build to be able to stay at the top and with the elite. Of course, I see what they're doing, and I'm trying to make sure, you know, if they have a better game this week, I got to make sure that I got to be better than next week. And I try to, you know, compete with myself all the time and then also keep them in the back of my head that, you know what I'm saying, I feel like I'm the top quarterback. I feel like I'm the best guy in the league, and I got to have that confidence each and every day when I step on the field.
There it is, right there.
He's holding the ownership. Like he's holding the ownership accountable. He's holding his teammates accountable, but first and foremost, he's holding himself accountable, and that's what leaders do. You hear him talking about the fact that he's holding himself accountable to be a servant leader. What that means is he's the type of guy that is serving his teammates around him, and he's leading them at the same time. That is what you want from the head guy, from the face of the franchise. You want a guy that is willing to serve others but also lead the way. And so that's what you're getting from Deshaun Watson. He's holding himself accountable. He's going to take steps forward. And because he's taking steps forward as a leader and as a player and his just overall ability to perform at a high level, it's going to pay dividends for the Houston Texans.
Question is, there's a lot of changes going on. Is Deshaun Watson going to be lonely? I'm worried about Deshaun Watson being lonely in that locker room, Wade. Very, very worried about Deshaun being lonely. This was him asked by Carmelo Anthony in the What's in Your Glass podcast about his go-to teammates. Who do you go to whenever you need to talk to somebody? Is my quarterback going to be freaking lonely, Wade?
You know, one of my teammates, he's with Tennessee now, Jonathan Joseph.
Of course.
15-year vet, corner. I mean, I talked to him. I used to talk to him when he was with us every day. You know, we chop it up every day. Even now, I know he's still living in Houston, so I go over to his crib. We chop it up. Tyron Matthew, that's my brother. Love him to death.
The Honey Badger.
D-Hop.
Huh?
Who else? I would say K-Jack, huh? Bruce Ellerton, you know, Kenny Stills.
Okay.
That's one.
There you go. He's got one.
We got one
go-to.
We got one.
One out of six. He He's going through the list. And I'm like, damn, they got rid of all these guys.
Oh, man. Was it all of their faults, too? That's why they got rid of them, too, so he could become and be his own man? Like, come on. But I'll just tell you this, man. That is part of being in the NFL. You ask Andre Johnson. Andre Johnson was with the organization from year two until, I think, year, like, 15. And he looked around the locker room, and every year somebody, like, he would lose a guy that he came in the league with. And so by the time like we were teammates, he had cycled through like two or three groups of guys. Yeah. And so that's just part of it.
The great thing is those guys could still be like Kareem. There's no excuse for Kareem not to still be here.
We can't rehash this. You're going to make
Badger,
me upset. I'm about to get
Badger,
mad.
I get it. Yeah. Bruce Ellington, yeah. Whatever.
Yes.
But
K-Jack should still be here.
Hop.
He should still be here.
Maybe even J-Jo. I don't know.
Still be here. Why not? Player coach. Why not? I'll just tell you what, man. The good thing about this for Deshaun Watson is this. Because we're in the middle of a pandemic and people ain't just hanging out like they normally do anyway, and you're on Zoom calls and you're used to FaceTime and all that type of stuff, he can still have that person, those people he can reach out to, even though they're spread out all over the country because – like Pave Tech says, he gets rid of players. He don't pay players. He gets rid of them.
Yeah.
And so that's what you got going on with the Houston Texans. That's what Pave Tech said. And shout out to Rob.
And he's trying to get paid. And speaking of getting paid, in the spirit of Pat Mahomes, the best songs about money, courtesy of myself, Landry Locker, Wade Smith, and for John Lopez, and Figgy Fig. Who wants to start this off? Figgy, you're the music guy. You got the Gems and Juice hip-hop podcast. You want to start off this money talk?
Hold on. Before we get started, I just want you to know that I expect my list to dominate both of you guys' list. Okay. No offense.
Okay.
I know both of you guys have great musical taste. We could listen to each other's playlist and rock with them, but I just feel like my list is going to be better than you two.
Okay.
So and text in 713-572-4610. Give us your best money songs. And we'll see how they stack up.
Don't be a jock sniffer either. Some of you loopholes, whenever we get a former athlete in here, you just feel the need to wear the knee pads whenever you're texting in. So take the knee pads off and use some objection. Figgy, start it off. Just kidding, loopholes.
Every time I think of money, I think of this song.
Right, a little Mace.
Yeah, I'm jamming right now.
It's a good start right now.
This is a great start by Figgy. This was almost in my list. This is a good one right here.
Do you want to present all four of yours, Fig, or you want to go around the room?
I could do all four.
You gonna do all four?
There's number one for Figgy. Of course, he went with the hip hop classic, Gems and Juice podcast with him, Rocket, and Jazz. You can find that's a good start. It's gonna be tough. It's gonna be tough to top. Second song, Figgy, what do you got?
I gotta go with Pink Floyd, man. Money.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Did not see this coming, Figgy.
Oh, really? You. He's got eclectic taste, baby.
Did
I love it.
Did not see this coming. Did not see this coming. Okay.
Money.
That's song number two.
I got chills listening to that, bro. I see you, Figgy. I see you, Figgy.
Song number three, best songs about money. Figgy's gonna be hard to beat. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's easy right there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's all about the Benjamins,
baby. I'm surprised y'all ain't put this
same
on
song, though.
Now, what y'all wanna do? Wanna be ballers, shot callers, brawlers.
He's going, he's very Bad Boy Records friendly on his list.
I see.
They make songs about money.
Song number four, Figgy.
Song number four. I ain't gonna do y'all like that. I'm just going with three.
Okay.
Because I know I won already.
Oh, okay, Figgy. You gonna go next or you wanna say the best for last?
I'll go next.
Okay, go ahead, Lane.
I mean, I think that Figgy's gonna win this. But I had to be the only guy to pick a country song. So I had to pick a country song.
Why did you have to be the only guy to pick a country song?
Because I got to satisfy the country audience.
Okay.
I got to satisfy the country audience. I didn't go Pink Floyd. Here is a little John Anderson, Money in the Bank.
Well, the sky's the limit. There's no price to
wait for the corny hook.
Baby, you're the apple of my eye. Got my paycheck in my pocket, some gas in the tank. Honey, your love's better than money in the bank.
All right, that's number one. had to get that one out of there. I'll say, Figgy, you win with the bad boy. Song number two, shout outs to Fat Joe. Shout out to Lil Wayne. Shout out to Scott Storch. Song number two, Make It Rain.
I make it rain.
Now, Biggie had two bad boy songs. I got two songs from the same album.
Okay.
And it is Houston Motivated. It's one of my five favorite albums of all time. Damn shame they couldn't get along whenever they got famous. Get Your Mind Correct by Paul Wall and Chameleon Air. The top single from that album, In Love With My Money, is my third song.
Big swangers and more than 20 inches sitting low. We ball 24/7, all that we know. Springs and neon lights are showing. My trunk on like pop and show. You already know. Paint dripping off the door. Not engaged with no lady. Fall in love with them. No, you might think I'm crazy.
Song four. I was almost just going to let that ride out the whole time. Song four. This was Chameleon Air's. This was Chameleon Air's best work on the album. This was My Money Gets Jealous.
Cooper, I said I'd never cheat on my money. It's funny y'all hoes don't believe me. Watch Mad Hatter and Cat Hatter, but gave it to me because I'm greedy. Don't be touching all on my money because that make my honey look sleazy. Getting paid is like good sex because my money comes easy. My fat stack be the reason nappy head hoes want to trap me. They be like, don't he look exactly like my son? He the pappy.
Haters
be making my dough unhappy. You should give me my props for making my cash the proper way instead of coming to pop you. Don't blame us for visions of princess.
He might be the best Houston rapper as far as just doing hooks and everything. I don't know, Figgy. I don't know.
Nah, I mean,
when you win a Grammy and then you just quit and become a multimillionaire, that
he made way more money after he rapped than he was while he was a rapper. He man, did. Shout out to Chameleon Air. He's been doing it big for the longest now.
So there's my four.
That's a nice little list, man. I like your list. I don't think it's on the level of Figgy so far. So I'm gonna have to bring some haymakers. To give it a figure. So to start off mine, I got to take it to Shaolin. I got to go to the East Coast. This group, Wu-Tang, has, to me, easily the number one song about money. Cash rules everything around me. Queens get the money. Dollar, dollar bills, y'all. Go ahead. Go
on. Cash rules everything around me. Queen get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, y'all.
Up on the crime side, the New York Times side. Staying alive was no job at second hands. Moms bounced on old man, so then we moved to Shaolin land. A young youth, you're rocking the gold tooth. Low goose, only way I begin to G-York was drug loot. And let's start it like this, son. Rolling with this one and that one. Pulling out gats for fun.
I mean, when you hear Cream, it's about that money, man. That is a classic hip-hop joint. Everything about it is classic. So that's my first song.
That's tough.
That's probably the best acronym ever, too.
I mean, it's beautiful. Cash rules everything around me. That is the American way, no question about it. These guys embodied that in one song. And so my second track, I'm going to take it to the land, and I know Figgy like this one right here. Okay. Bone Thugs.
I knew this was going.
For the Love of Money, baby. Let's get it.
Getting a lot of support. Figgy might have. Figgy probably should have used that fourth. Figgy probably should have used that fourth.
This takes me back to
my list.
I think this was like, I think I might have been in junior high when this came out, maybe ninth grade, something like this. But, bro, when Bone Thugs came out, like, they from Cleveland? I don't know about Cleveland. They put out classic albums. This song right here, beautiful track, man.
I agree.
I'm surprised you didn't put it on the list. You probably wanted to put it on the list, but you were being nice to me.
I actually went last. Yeah. Like, y'all gave me y'all list.
Yeah.
And I said, all right, I'm going to just pick from the scraps.
I could appreciate that Pink Floyd track you did, though. That was there. So that was my second track. My third track right here, I'm going to skip over the third track that I had listed on here because I want to keep this list as diverse as possible. I'm going to go to different places in this country. I'm going to go to the West Coast right here.
Okay.
West Coast, this guy is you know, one of, if not the best hip hop artist out right now, Kendrick Lamar, Money Trees.
Holly Berry, or hallelujah. Pick your poison, tell me what you do. Everybody go respect the shooter, but the one in front of it lives forever.
The one in front of the forever.
And I've been hustling all day, this okay. Way, that away.
So that's three. You going four, or are you going to sit 3-2?
Money Trees is the perfect place for shade, and that's just how I feel.
Money Trees is the perfect place for shade. Hey, man, that means about 14 different things if you really deep dive into it. He's an intelligent guy. Love that track, Money Trees. And my last one, bro. My last one.
Final song about money.
The final song about money.
You and Figgy are going toe-to-toe.
We're going to take this to Chi-Town. This dude said he was going to run for president. Before his name was Ye, he was Kanye West, and he had this track right here. I think it came out in about 06, 07. I was playing with the Jets. I remember they used to play this song every day at practice during training camp, and I used to love it. And it's Can't Tell Me Nothing.
La, okay. La, yeah. La, la, wait till I get my money right.
This makes me think of The Hangover.
I miss this Kanye.
Yeah.
God, I'll be back.
Long gone. He is long gone. 713-572-4610. Going between Wade and Figgy. I'm getting a little bit of love on there, but I'll let these guys have this one. I would have just played the whole Get Your Mind Correct album, honestly. 713-572-4610. Who won? Speaking of winning, there's always a race to present news first when it comes to big news like a contract extension for Pat Mahomes. Yesterday, it wasn't Adam Schefter, it wasn't Ian Rapoport, it wasn't John McClain. You won't believe how a manager at a liquor store was the first person to break the Pat Mahomes news. We'll lay it out for you next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.